Thank you again for joining us for our service today online. Today I'd like to bring you a message entitled Remembrance. You know, there's a delightful song from an old movie from 1958. The movie's name is Gigi, and the song's title is I Remember It Well. It's a song sung by an older couple in which they're reflecting on their first date and how the couple remembers the details of the date very differently. If you have a chance, I encourage you to search for it and find it on YouTube. It's a fun little video and a fun little movie. Now, memory is a funny thing. Like hearing, our memories can be selective. Now, some memories are definitely worth holding on to. I think of when I was a child, my mom and I liked to play board games and card games, and it was probably during the winter time when it was cold and I wasn't wearing socks and my feet were cold, and we were sitting at a card table, and out of orneriness I just kind of took and slid my cold foot against my mom's shin. Of course, she kind of scolded me, told me not to do that, because my feet were really cold, and if you ever had somebody put a cold foot on you, you know how that feels. But being the ornery child that I was, I continued to do it, and she kept scolding me, but of course she wasn't really upset with me, and finally she just ended up laughing so hard that she cried, and it's one of those fond memories I have of spending time with my mom. Another memory that's definitely worth holding on to for me is the evening I proposed to my wife. Now, we had kind of talked about getting married for a while, and things were getting pretty serious, and I happened to look at her, and I said, you know, we're talking about getting married and thinking about what we would want our wedding ceremony to be like, but I've never actually asked you. Will you marry me? And she just laughed in my face. But I guess it turned out all right, because here in a couple weeks we're going to be celebrating our 39th wedding anniversary. Another memory that for me is definitely worth holding on to is when our children were born, because we pastored in a smaller community and there was a smaller hospital there, I had the wonderful privilege of carrying my children from the delivery room to the nursery. And just that amazing memory for me of those newborn children, being able to talk to them and apologize to them that, sorry, I'm your dad, this is what you get. At least you've got an amazing mom. But those are wonderful memories for me. Now, other memories we may not always want to keep, but often memories can be learning tools to help us grow. Think of a disappointment, of a loss that made you work harder to get better, whether it was in sports or academically or just some other way that disappointment, the memory of it drove you to do better and to be better. Or think of the choice to forgive when someone has hurt you. Now, I know people say that we are to forgive and forget. We can choose to forgive. Most of the time we are not able to forget. But that choice to forgive helps us to release the hurt and to no longer be bound to that person who hurt us, and for us to be able to move on. And then the choice to forgive again when for some reason that wound is reopened or that hurt resurfaces, and that choice we make when we take that memory and decide to grow from it. And then there's a friend of mine that has the memory of when he learned that he really was not Batman when he jumped off his garage roof and broke his arm as a child. Well, today is Memorial Day weekend. This is Memorial Day weekend, and on Monday we will remember and honor those who laid down their lives for our country so that we as a people can be free and enjoy the rights guaranteed to us by our Constitution. But hopefully one of the things that this weekend, and especially Memorial Day, will remind us of is that freedom isn't free. Now, the Bible does speak a lot about remembering. And I want us to look at a few instances today in Scripture that remind us of the power of remembering. The first account is found in Joshua chapter 4, and it tells of the Israelites as they're crossing the Jordan River to enter into the Promised Land and begin to take possession of it as God had promised to them. Let's begin reading at verse 4. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." A little further down in Joshua 4, beginning at verse 20, "And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones that had been taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, 'In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, "What do these stones mean?" tell them, "Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." We are to remember what the Lord has done for us. For the Israelites, the stone pillar was there to remind them of how God had worked miracles on their behalf, what he did for them in Egypt as he brought them out of slavery, what he did as he provided for them during their wilderness wanderings, and then how he brought them into the land that he had promised to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This pillar was to be a teaching tool for those who would follow of how powerful God is, how he worked on behalf of his people, and that they were to fear and to serve him. We need reminders of what the Lord has done for us. See, a failure to remember leads to ingratitude and allows us to take God's blessings for granted. We can often forget that freedom isn't free, and that we do have a responsibility and a duty to serve the Lord faithfully. 1 Samuel 7 is another account of a stone pillar being set up to remind the people that the Lord was helping them. It was a time of national repentance, and people who had been serving the Baals and the Ashtaroths, and now they have turned back to the Lord to serve him. And while they were gathered together to recommit themselves to the Lord and reestablish the covenant with God, led by the prophet and judge Samuel, their enemies, the Philistines, attacked. Let's pick up the account in verse 7. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hands of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines, threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point beyond Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they stopped invading Israel's territory. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. Thus far has the Lord helped us. What is your testimony today of how the Lord has helped you? Each of us should come to realize that God is on our side, that He is helping us. Sometimes it's hard for us to maybe see if your heart really isn't set on following the Lord. You may wonder, where is God in my life? But you can be assured, Scripture is very clear on this, that He is very close to you. He is near at hand, and that if you will call upon Him, He will answer you, and He will be there for you. Now, I love music. I probably get laughed at quite so often when I have the opportunity to lead singing as part of the worship, because so often I'll introduce a song as saying, this is one of my favorite songs. I think almost every song people think is one of my favorite songs. But, you know, music for us can be a powerful way to remember what God has done for us. I think of the hymn that we sing occasionally, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And the second verse in that hymn refers to the Ebenezer stone of 1 Samuel chapter 7. Listen to the words of this hymn. Here I'll raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, He, to rescue me from danger, interposed His precious blood. God has helped us thus far. He's helped us by His sacrifice on the cross, His resurrection from the dead, His ascension to the Father that provides for us salvation. Now, that hymn was written in 1758 by Robert Robinson. He was sent to London to be a barber's apprentice, where he fell into bad company and lived a debauched life. But he ended up giving his life to the Lord through the preaching of George Whitefield in 1755. And he would become a minister and pastor a church for over 30 years, I believe it was, 20 to 30 years, and of course became a hymn writer. And this hymn, and you should take a moment and find it out on YouTube and listen to all the verses, because this hymn is a reflection of his testimony of how he received mercy and grace from the Lord, and it was a way for him to remember how much God had done for him, that thus far hath the Lord helped us. I remember after I came to the Lord that there was a time I was struggling. I don't remember the exact circumstances, but it was a low point in my life. And at some point I had bought the record, you know, those little round discs that you put on a record player and play. Kids, you'll have to ask your parents about those. But it was a record of Andre Crouch, who's gone on to be with the Lord. But it was a recording of a concert he did called Live at Carnegie Hall. And I was in my bedroom laying on my bed one afternoon during this time, and I was listening to this album and singing along with it. And then that song came on, I Didn't Think It Could Be, which was followed by a time of worship with that little chorus, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. And as I sang, the Lord began to do a fresh work in my heart. I had that fresh encounter with Jesus, and He refilled me that afternoon with His Holy Spirit. It changed the course of my life, gave me the encouragement to continue on and to keep going. These songs are an Ebenezer for me, a reminder that thus far has the Lord helped me. Now, in the Old Testament, God established feasts or festivals to help the Israelites remember what he had done for them and that they were his people. These included the Passover, which reminded the Israelites of the deliverance from the death of the firstborn when they were in Egypt. The Feast of Unleavened Bread reminded them of how God redeemed Israel out of Egypt in haste, and that they were called to be a holy people, that they were called to be God's people. The Feast of Pentecost reminded them of the giving of the law at Sinai 50 days after crossing the Red Sea and being delivered from slavery in Egypt, and that they were to be thankful of the Lord's blessings. Pentecost is coming up for us very soon, next Sunday, I do believe, and may it be a day for us to remember how God has blessed us, not only the giving of the law, the giving of his word, but the outpouring of his spirit on that birthday of the church, the day of Pentecost. In the New Testament, Jesus established a practice to help his followers remember his atoning death that provides forgiveness of sin to all who will believe in him. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, beginning with verse 19, "And he, Jesus, took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" Communion, celebrating the Lord's Supper, reminds us of how God so loved us that he sent Jesus to die for us and to take the penalty for our sins, that they might be forgiven and we might be made new and become children of God. It reminds us of the terrible cost of sin, that the wages of sin is death, and how Jesus died in our place, suffered death for us so that we might have life and have it abundantly. It reminds us that we are to live worthy of the Lord and to please him in every way by bearing fruit in every good work and growing to know him better and better. Now, there's a hymn we used to sing that we don't sing often anymore, at least not in our church or the churches I'm aware of. It's an old hymn that says, "Lead me to Calvary." King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. If we are not careful, we can forget how we got where we are today. I think about our church, Friendship Assembly of God, here in Hayward, Iowa. We are where we are because people stepped out in faith to plant a Pentecostal church in Hayward. How many have gone before us, faithfully praying, serving, giving, living for the Lord, that this congregation could continue to be a light for Jesus in this community. I thank God for them, and may we never forget that they are part of us, that we are able to do what we do today because of that foundation and ministry laid for us there by them. I think about our nation, the freedoms that we enjoy. The First Amendment to our Constitution reminds us that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of people to peacefully assemble, and to petition the government for redress of grievances. That these freedoms that we enjoy came at a cost. The lives of many who have served in our armed forces over the course of our nation. And I think about the Lord. May we live worthy of His sacrifice for us, by which we receive His mercy and His grace. Reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, those first two verses, says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." I want you to listen to what the Spirit is speaking to you today as we listen to this song by Third Day. The title of the song is called Love Song.
Well, I've heard it said that a man would climb a mountain just to be just to be with you.
Let us pray. Father, thank you that you walked the hill of Calvary, that you did what was necessary, that you paid the price that needed to be paid, that you could be with us, that we could be with you, that we could come to know you and to live for you, to experience the forgiveness of sins, to receive new birth as the children of God, and the wonderful freedom to be able to walk in the truth of the gospel, to be able to follow the leading of the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, that we do not fulfill the desires of the sinful nature, that because of you we have a life that is truly worth living. Father, I ask you to fill us with the knowledge of your will, through all wisdom, understanding that the Spirit gives, so that we may live a life worthy of the Lord, and that we might please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, so that we might have great endurance and patience, that we might give joyful thanks to you, Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Thank you that you've rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that you love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. May we remember. Amen.